All my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Bring your cares unto me.
From the Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen Center for Media Evangelization in Ewing, New Jersey, welcome to Come to Me with Jim Manfredonia. Stay tuned for an hour of talk, reflections, and meditations on topics that are important to today's Catholics. And now, here is your host, Jim Manfredonia.
Well, a very good day to you, my friends. Welcome once again to Come to Me. My name is Jim Manfredonia, and as always, it is a great joy to share this hour with you every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And we do repeat the program at 10 p.m. each of those days, and we archive the program on our website. What I try to do is archive our audio files over the weekend. So, you know, it doesn't happen right away. We wait until I do my Saturday work, and then I try to upload them then. Well, of course, we're coming to you also on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/domesticchurchmedia. I hope you will subscribe to our channel. It doesn't cost anything. We don't, you know, overload you with all kinds of information. All we do is if you subscribe, whenever there's a program, like right now, you just get a quick notification saying there's a live program on if you'd like to watch it. So I do hope you'll subscribe. Go to youtube.com/domesticchurchmedia to watch the program. We archive our video there as well. And coming to you, video on our Facebook page at facebook.com/domesticchurchmedia. Please like us on Facebook. Trying to use all these forms of social media to get the word out there, my friends. That's why we're here. And I thank you for being a part of my day today on this Thursday, which means it is Catechism Day. And, you know, we weren't here last week because of the radiothon. We weren't here the week before because that was Holy Thursday. So it's been 3 weeks, and we left off we're doing the Ten Commandments. We're on the Sixth Commandment. So we'll continue there as well. We're going to pray, and after our prayer, I want to go to just kind of skip through a little bit, some of my favorite passages from the Acts of the Apostles that we're reading now in Holy Mass this Easter season. It always gets me invigorated whenever I read and hear the Acts of the Apostles, because I think this is how our church should be. But we'll get to that later on. Going to pray first, though, my friends. So I do invite you, wherever you are listening from or watching from, to join us in prayer. We're praying this deliverance prayer for parents. Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, who's an American exorcist, has told us that spouses have divine authority over their own bodies and their spouses and their minor children. And this particular prayer has parents invoking that authority and casting out demons and evil from themselves, their spouse, their minor children. Then, of course, for our adult children, we invoke Almighty God to heal and liberate in this prayer. So we're praying those prayers because the domestic church family is under horrible attack, just horrible attack. So we're going to keep praying because the attack is real, the battle is real. And it's raging, and so parents, we have to pray. And grandparents, so we're praying. So let's begin, my friends, as we begin all good things, that is in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I invoke the full authority you've given me as a spouse and a parent, and I lift any curses, spells, seals, hexes, vexes, consecrations, voodoo, or any occult action, or any evil affecting me, or my spouse, or my children who are minors. In Jesus' name, I cast out all evil spirits that are harming us. In Jesus' name, I reject them, I rebuke them, I renounce them, and I cast them out. For my adult children, I beg you, Heavenly Father, to hear a parent's plea and free them from any of these occult actions or any evil, and cast out all evil spirits. Father, I beseech you to send a spirit of unity and peace to my family. Heal the divisions in our family. May those family members who are estranged from each other be reconciled in forgiveness and love. May we live together in your peace. I pray for special healing graces for each one of us. Heal the wounds that plague us. Heal any depression, anxiety, fears, compulsions, addictions, angers, resentments, and any and all mental and physical illnesses. Restore us to full health. I especially ask for the following grace for my family, if it be your holy will. And here, my brothers and sisters, let's raise up those very special intentions we have right now to the throne of Almighty God. Most of all, may you infuse into our hearts the gift of faith, always trusting in you. Bring back any of us who have wandered from the faith. May we be fully protected from all harm and evil by the shield of faith and the sword of truth. I make this parent's prayer in the holy name of Jesus, begging the powerful intercession of the Holy Family with the Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph and all the saints. And now, my friends, we'll pray our prayers to Saint Michael and to Our Lady, the beautiful ancient prayer, the Subtum Praesidium prayer, praying as Holy Father asks to pray these two particular prayers to protect the Church from the attacks of the devil. And we add to that intention to protect our families, our homes, and our country from the attacks of the devil. And so we pray, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. We fly to thy protection, O Holy Mother of God. Do not despise our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Amen. And we pray, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we love you. Pray for us. Venerable Archbishop Sheen, pray for us. Saint Pope John Paul II, pray for us. Our Lady of Good Remedy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And again, I thank you, my friends, for praying. Now, you know, again, I mentioned to you that we're coming to you on all of our platforms here. Of course, our network of domestic church media radio stations here in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. Coming to you also on the Amazon Echo device and the Google Home device. If you have those, all you have to do is say, play domestic church media. The Amazon Echo, you have to enable the domestic church media skill. So you have to go to your Amazon Echo app and then search for domestic church media, and our skill will appear. It's free, doesn't cost you anything. And just enable that skill. And then from there on out, with your Amazon Echo devices, all you have to do is say, Alexa, play domestic church media. And we stream on those devices. Same thing with Google Home. I'm not really sure if you have to activate a skill on Google Home Assistant. I don't have that. But we're on there. I know we're there. So if you have to search for us, you can search for us. But we're there as well. Streaming audio. And don't forget our free mobile app for your phone, tablets, all your mobile devices. It's free. Doesn't cost you anything. You know, I use the app regularly. Of course, we stream our broadcasts right there live on our app. You can also watch on our YouTube channel right on from your app there. You can go to our website. And we have other resources there as well. The daily mass readings, morning prayer, daytime prayer, evening prayer, night prayer, it's all there for you, the Liturgy of the Hours. I take it into the chapel with me every day in my prayer time, and I pull up the rosary and pray the rosary with the rosary that's on there. It's not the Father Groeschel rosary that we broadcast, but it's a rosary being prayed by, I think the Knights of Columbus actually recorded it, but beautiful little reflections, and so I do that. So do download it. Go to your app store. Go to your app store. You know, about 20 years ago, all this would be gibberish. We talk this language, but it would be gibberish to people. Go to your app store, search for Domestic Church Media, and download our free mobile app. It has been downloaded close to 3,000 times around the world. Literally, and if you were with us last week during the radiothon, I read off the list of all the countries where our free mobile app has been downloaded. Every continent, except for Antarctica. We have not been downloaded in Antarctica yet, but every other continent we have been. And just a multitude of countries where the downloads have occurred, including, you know, some countries that are pretty hostile to Christianity. So it's kind of a way to get the gospel into these souls who want to hear it. And it's because, as we said last week during the radio thing, because of you, your prayers and your support that we're able to do this. So we thank God for the great blessing of being able to be here and serve the church, serve our Lord, serve you in this way. My friends, it's just so important that we have this apostolate, because I haven't watched the news within the past number of hours. I watched it this morning when I was getting ready for work, but apparently there was an attack in the Middle East. Israel attacked something of Iran's, and they're expecting a counterattack. Even our own people here in the U.S. talking about there being some type of terrorism. I mean, the threats of violence and war, the hatred that exists, the division that exists, my friends, we need Jesus. We don't have to fear anything. You and I, as members of the mystical body of Christ, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, faithful as best we can, trying every day to live that faithful discipleship, we don't have to be afraid. Jesus will take care of his own. It doesn't mean it's going to preserve us from difficulties in life, right? We know that. But we also know that the Lord will take care of us. He takes care of his own. So we just have to pray. We have the great power of prayer at our disposal. You know, and prayer and fasting, almsgiving, these are weapons to use against this evil in the world. And the world needs a lot of prayer. There's a lot of very, very dangerous things going on, both physically and regarding war and violence, but also spiritual danger. People's souls are at stake, falling prey to the lies of the enemy and convincing, especially our younger people, of certain things now in our culture as being widely accepted. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today, and catechism about homosexuality. So let's do this. I love this time of year and our mass readings, because the Acts of the Apostles are being read throughout the Easter season. And to me, it's always been a great, as I mentioned to you yesterday, a great playbook. You know, if we're looking in our church in 2024, looking for a guide, a playbook, you know, to give us what we need to grow as a church and to be emboldened and as a church and to be, you know, a church that people want to come to, people want to join. It's all right here in the Acts of the Apostles, the entire gospel, all the gospels, but the Acts of the Apostles, because it's talking directly about the first believers. Let me share this with you. We're going to go to, first of all, from Acts chapter 2. This is right after Pentecost, after the descent of the Holy Spirit. Remember now, before Pentecost, the apostles were still hiding, even though they had seen the risen Lord and walked with him and ate with him. He cooked them breakfast one day, right? They were still hiding. They were still afraid. But the Holy Spirit descended upon them and gave them these beautiful gifts. And Holy Father Pope Francis yesterday talked about fortitude in his general audience catechesis. So these men who were, fearing their own death, having witnessed what Jesus went through, although they have seen him risen, still were afraid. But the Holy Spirit descended upon them at that first the Pentecost and empowered them. And so right after that, Peter goes out and addresses a crowd. Our first pope. And this is from Acts 2, beginning with verse 14. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Now imagine standing out in the public square with people. And here's this man who is taking it upon himself as the vicar of Christ on earth, given the keys to the kingdom by Christ himself. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Then he starts quoting scripture. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. Yes, and on my men servant and my maid servant in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord comes and the great and manifest day. And it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remember that, my brothers and sisters. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter continued, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. But God raised him up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor let your holy ones see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. This is a beautiful homily that our first pope is giving to the people there. He continues, brethren, I say to you confidently of the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne, he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this which you see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies a stool for your feet. Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So he gives this beautiful homily, really is what it is, you know, a dissertation, but a homily to the people there, boldly. And this is a man who denied he even knew Jesus at the moment when Jesus needed him most. And then with his other friends, the other apostles, hid in the upper room for fear of their own lives. And here he is standing out there in the crowd preaching. And so the effects of this, okay, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all the apostles, Peter especially as the head, visible head of the church on earth, speaks for all of them. And Scripture tells us now, when the people heard this, when they heard what Peter was saying and the way he was saying it, he wasn't reading off notes. He was just letting the Holy Spirit speak through him, as any good homilist will tell you is what happens. They were cut to the heart, the people, cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? They've just witnessed this beautiful outpouring of truth. by Peter and the people who were listening, now what shall we do now? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He continued, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, that's us, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other words and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And here, my brothers and sisters, those words still ring so true today. In this beautiful Eastertide, we hear the words of St. Peter telling us, repent, because most of us have been baptized, repent and save ourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received this word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls that day, just because of the words Peter spoke and how he spoke them. And they were cut to the heart. We want to be like you. We want to have that boldness, that joy. We want to rejoice the way you're rejoicing. What shall we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized in Christ Jesus, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 of them that day came into the church just because of that one exhortation by Peter. And they held steadfastly to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to the prayers. So they were celebrating the liturgy, the breaking of the bread, the Eucharist. These were the first converts into our church. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and distributed them to all as any had need. And day to day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, the beautiful little domestic churches, right? They partook of food with glad and generous hearts. Well, we should be living our life with glad and generous hearts. You know, my brothers and sisters, last week, you know, just a week ago, right, we had the earthquake. But no, we don't really feel earthquakes around here. Cheryl and I were on the air with Bruce when the earthquake hit. We're right here in the studio, and you know, we thought maybe a truck was going by somewhere or a plane. We're very close to the Trenton Airport. A plane maybe was flying low, or we heard the noise, the rumbling, and the walls. But then when the floor, and we're, you know, our building here is on a cement slab. When I felt the floor starting to move, I thought, okay, earthquake. And I got to tell you, for a split second there, I thought, is the Lord coming back? I really did. I didn't say it, but I kind of thought, okay, could this be? And of course, you know, it lasted 30 seconds and passed. But people start seeing, you know, we talked about it on Tuesday, right? There's a 4.8 magnitude and 4.8, April 8th is the Feast of the Annunciation. There's going to be a total eclipse. And here we are still, right? We're all still here. But we all know that one day we will leave this world. We're going to leave this planet. We're going to leave this life as we know it. Every one of us, you, me, all of us, every single person, dead. But not really. Our bodies will cease to have life because our soul will have left it and then entered in to an eternal life. That's the message. So to have these glad and generous hearts, to be able to have this great joy, this fortitude, this desire to do what the Lord teaches us to do so that we can be with him forever in heaven, that's what it's all about. Then we have the little. Oh, I don't have a lot of time here, but let me go through some of these things. Peter and John going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, 3 o'clock. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple. So this lame man, he's there every day, can't walk. People have to put him there. He's begging for alms. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. And Peter, Scripture tells us, directed his gaze at him. So Peter stops and looks down at this man. And with John, he said, "Look at us. Look at us." And he fixed his attention upon them, the man, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Leaping! The man was leaping. Here's the man who could not walk. Now leaping because Peter had given him not silver and gold, not material things, but he gave him what he did have. And, you know, this is shortly after, you know, Peter received the Holy Spirit in Pentecost with the other apostles and believed in the power of Christ working through him. Didn't bat an eye. "I have no silver and gold, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So during these beautiful first days, people, we hear those words a lot, wonder, amazement, in awe. You know, people are thrilled and excited about what's going on. We're just 50 days earlier, there had been total, you know, destruction of this man who was preaching the gospel, and people thought that they had destroyed him, had killed him. But because he rose from the dead and lives, all this beautiful, the result of that passion and death and resurrection now coming to fruition, people are just amazed at what's going on. And we too should be amazed to this day. I mean, you know, you and I, if we went and saw a man who couldn't walk, if we said, "I don't have silver or gold, but I'll give you what I do have, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk," we could say that. We'd be, you know, would it happen? Would the man walk? Well, you know, maybe, could happen, believe it. We have that power, right? We shouldn't be afraid, but we know also in those days, these men, the apostles, ordained by Christ himself personally, but we have received baptism. We've received the Holy Spirit in baptism and confirmation. Signs and wonders still happen. We shouldn't be denying that. We know they happen. We know we hear stories of healings and miracles. But, you know, Jesus didn't heal every single person that he ever met either when he was walking the earth for those three years of his public ministry. Not everyone who came to Christ was healed. There's a reason why those who were, and those who weren't. This day, many people are recipients of miracles. Many people are not, and they're good, faithful, holy people, but they don't, for whatever reason, the Lord says, "No, this is the way I need it right now, to bring about a greater good." Mother Angelica had a healing. You know, she used to walk with braces. And then one day a woman came to see her and prayed with her and prayed over her, and Mother could walk. It was a miracle. So they happen, and the power is there. But the greatest miracle is salvation. The greatest miracle is that we know that when we leave this world, leave this earth, we will be able to be with Christ forever in heaven because Jesus did what he did. I'll take a break. When I come back, my friends, we are going to go to the catechism and we will go back to the continue with the sixth commandment. So stay where you are. I'll be right back with more. Don't go away.
"60 Seconds with Mother Angelica."
God created each one of us, but he had in mind, regardless of how we look from childhood to old age, we change physically, but we don't change in his mind. See? Why? Because God has a specific degree of union with him, holiness we call it, for every one of you. And it's all different. See, we're all different. And we are called to be different because it glorifies God. He just doesn't make robots. Now, why you say, well, why are some holier than others? Well, that's your fault. That's not his fault. If we accept the good, the bad, and indifferent of every day, we'll all be holy in a different way.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN. 60 Seconds with Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen.
Man who's free to love is free to hate. He who is free to obey is free to rebel. Virtue in this concrete order is possible only in those spheres in which it is possible to be vicious. A man can be a saint only in a church in which it is possible to be a devil. You say, well, if I were God, I would destroy evil. Well, if you did that, you would destroy human freedom. God will not destroy freedom. If we do not want any dictators on this earth, certainly we do not want any dictators in the kingdom of heaven. And those, therefore, who would blame God for allowing man freedom to go on hindering and thwarting his work are like those who, seeing blots and smudges and errors in the student's notebook, would condemn the teacher for not snatching away the book and doing the copy himself.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Teresa Tomeo.
Every time I go to Mass and see my husband serving on the altar as a deacon, it hits me how, with God, all things are possible. I mean, there is no way that we should be still married, number one, based on all the problems we had. But number two, the fact that I'm in Catholic media and my husband is a deacon is simply a testimony to the power of God and the teachings of the church that saved our marriage and, more importantly, our souls.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, heard right here on Domestic Church Media, weeknights at 5.
Pope Francis reminds us that it does not take a specialized degree in theology to become a great evangelist. We're all called to evangelize. Think about the woman at the well. After she encountered Jesus, she immediately went into the city and invited others to meet him as she had. You and I can go out now and do the same. And St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. Get involved today by contacting us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
My family left the church because of a very negative experience with a specific priest, and that took my whole family away from going to church for a long period of time. There were other Catholic churches, and there were great Catholic churches and great priests, but we stopped because of that one specific instance. And in a way, I was cheated out a big part of my journey and my life. Because we weren't in the church. In life, it seems like we're always enslaved to something. And I think that's basically what our culture is all about right now, is we are enslaved to power or to greed or to wealth or to lust. But there's a true freedom to not be enslaved, but to attach ourselves to God and to be free. My involvement in the church, my relationship with God, is who I am. It's what gives me my identity. Thank God I'm home.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Bishop Robert Barron.
Tolkien has reached out to, you know, Nordic culture and literature and Icelandic sagas and all sorts of things. He learned a lot about the good, the true, and the beautiful from his study of pre-Christian cultures. He used narrative forms that were accessible to the culture. He adapted that to evangelical purposes. So that shows you that flexibility it shows you a certain creativity in the evangelical art. He did not proselytize. Rather, he very delicately and indirectly and cleverly evangelized through the imagination, so that someone taking in these great stories of Tolkien or his friend C.S. Lewis, they're going to say, oh yeah, I get that. I recognize that pattern. So that finally when they hear the gospel, they'll say, yeah, I understand that. I learned that from The Lord of the Rings. I learned that pattern from the Narnia stories. That was the genius of those fellas.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back on this Tuesday, April 11th, 2024. Oh, did I say Tuesday? Thursday. Thursday, April 11th. Does it seem to you that the time is going by very fast? All of a sudden it's Thursday. Wasn't it just Monday? Weren't we all just outside looking at the sun and the moon? That was Monday, right? I don't know. Time is going by very, very fast. My mother always said, the older you get, the faster time goes. But I think there's something else going on. Scripture tells us the days will be shortened in the end times, the last days. Maybe. It also says, Lord, you give us 70 years, 80 if we're strong. Well, I'll be 70 this year. So I think anything after 70 is, I guess, gravy. You know, we're working. Anyway. Let's see. We're going to go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church in just a moment, continuing in the Sixth Commandment. But before we do that, remind you that Cheryl and I will be here tomorrow with Friday Live. We haven't been here with Friday Live for a couple of weeks because of Good Friday and the Radiothon last week. So we're back tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Hope you can join us. And we did, we're going to have a couple of guests joining us. I don't have the list in front of me here, but I know we have guests as well. So we hope you join us tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And then next Tuesday, which will be the third Tuesday in April already, my goodness, Bruce DeBacco will be here live at 2 o'clock with his program, Come to the Throne. And you'll be able to text in, call in, and have Bruce pray for you and your special intentions. That's 2 o'clock next Tuesday, the third Tuesday. You know, Bruce is here on the first and third Tuesday of every month with Come to the Throne. So let's go to the Catechism. Last time we did this was about 3 weeks ago, because then we had Holy Thursday, and then last week the Radiothon. And we began this section on offenses against chastity. Offenses against chastity. And we went through lust, masturbation, fornication, pornography, prostitution, rape, and then the Catechism addresses homosexuality. Now, you know, people who are promoting the LGBTQ plus agenda obviously calls anybody who is against homosexual behavior, haters and all this other stuff. But listen to how the church addresses chastity and homosexuality. And this is paragraph 2357 in the Catechism. It's a good section to know, because obviously that's a topic that is talked about a lot in our culture. And it's good to know where we, as members of the church, what we believe, what we teach, and have the facts, not what somebody says we teach, but what the church actually says about this. So this is paragraph 2357. Homosexuality refers to relations between men or between women who experience an exclusive or predominant sexual attraction toward persons of the same sex. It has taken a great variety of forms through the centuries and in different cultures. Its psychological genesis remains largely unexplained. Basing itself on sacred scripture, which presents homosexual acts as acts of grave depravity, And then it does a quote from Genesis, Romans, Corinthians, Timothy. It cites the passages in Scripture, Genesis, and then Paul's letter to the Romans, Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, and Paul and the first letter of Timothy. So you can look those up. It gives you the references and the chapter and verses there. So sacred scripture presents homosexual acts. Again, homosexual acts, the act, not the person, but the act, as acts of grave depravity. Tradition has always declared that homosexual acts are intrinsically disordered. Intrinsically disordered, the homosexual act itself. Intrinsically disordered. They are contrary to the natural law. They close the sexual act to the gift of life. They do not proceed from a genuine affective and sexual complementarity. Under no circumstances can they be approved. Again, it's referring directly to the act, not the person. Okay? Referring directly to the act. Now, previously, in this section, the Catechism addresses fornication. That's the sexual act between heterosexual individuals who are not married. And that particular act reserved for marriage with the purpose of both unitive and procreative intent within marriage. That's why and how God created it. Outside of that, again, it is disordered and it's sinful, the act itself. But here it's talking about homosexual acts contrary to the natural law because it closes the sexual act to the gift of life and it doesn't proceed from a genuine affective and sexual complementarity that would exist in a marriage between a husband and a wife, a man and a woman. Under no circumstances can this homosexual act be approved. Under no circumstances. But remember now, in this particular paragraph in 2357, it does state that the psychological genesis remains largely unexplained. So psychologically, why do individuals have same-sex attraction? There is no sin in that attraction. Okay, individuals who have same-sex attraction, the attraction itself psychologically can't be explained, and the attraction itself is not sinful. The act is. Now, in paragraph 2358, the Catechism says, the number of men and women who have deep-seated homosexual tendencies is not negligible. We're seeing this more and more. I think today, however, we're seeing it more and more, especially with young people, because it's almost being promoted as natural and almost in some cases encouraged when young people who are going through different emotional states in their teen years and they're being told by, you know, through social media and peers, it's okay to go ahead and act on that attraction and to enter into those types of relationships. You know, the culture, again, is saying it's all right. And so young people, especially in these... Now, look, we know what it was like to be a teenager, right? I mean, I remember when I was 13, 14 years old, you're going through all these, you know, your hormones are running crazy, you're going through all these things. And some people are being told it's okay if you are attracted to a member of the same sex. Again, the attraction is not the sin. The act is the sin. And the Catechism says in 2358, the number of men and women who have deep-seated homosexual tendencies is not negligible. This inclination, which is objectively disordered, constitutes for most of them a trial. Okay, so it's a struggle because I have this same, not I personally, obviously, but the person who has the same-sex attraction struggles with that, knowing that it is that attraction is contrary to the natural law and that it can be objectively disordered. Why? That's not the way God made us. God made us and gave us the great gift of our sexual faculties, again, to be used within the bond of marriage, both as unitive and procreative, and with unitive and procreative intent. That's the pure purpose of it. That's how God created it and what he created it for. Anything other than that becomes a disorder, right? But it is a trial, especially men and women who have this attraction, who are trying to live good, holy lives. And for them, it's especially a trial because they know that they can't act on that inclination, and they struggle with that. The Catechism says these people who have same-sex attraction, okay, must be accepted with respect, compassion, and sensitivity. Okay, the people. And there was a lot of to do, you know, a few months ago when the Vatican said it was okay to give a blessing to people who had same-sex attraction. And if a person who has that attraction asks for a blessing and they are, have homosexual tendencies and have same-sex attraction, they can receive a blessing. They're not blessing the union if they're in one. They're not blessing the act that they may be involved in, but they're receiving a blessing. And as Pope Francis said, it could be the grace they received that day to begin to see the truth and enter into and live that truth. And I thought to myself, that was right around Christmas time, well, just before Christmas, I think. And I thought to myself, how many people on Christmas Day went up and received communion, let alone a blessing, received communion, who were in heterosexual relationships but unchaste ones? You know. So the Catechism continues here that these people must be accepted with respect, compassion, and sensitivity. Every sign of unjust discrimination in their regard should be avoided. And, you know, my friends, when we hear in the media or just in conversation about people who just don't know what exactly the church teaches regarding homosexual persons, okay, the church teaches that the homosexual act is gravely disordered. But regarding homosexual persons, this is what you want to quote to them. But my church teaches that these homosexual persons or people with same-sex attractions must be accepted with respect, compassion, and sensitivity. That's right out of the Catechism, paragraph 2358. Write that down and keep it in your pocket. If you know anybody who gives you a hard time about the church and homosexuality, paragraph 2358, homosexual persons with same-sex attractions must be accepted with respect, compassion, and sensitivity. And then it continues, every sign of unjust discrimination in their regard should be avoided. Unjust discrimination. And that, my friends, you know, when we had the big brouhaha back in the fall about blessing people with same-sex attractions, couples, that you're not blessing the union, but the individual is receiving a blessing. Every one of us is a sinner, and every one of us asks for a blessing one time or another. We get one at the end of Mass every time we attend. How many people at any given Mass, at the end of the Mass, receives that blessing, who may be, as we all are sinners, be even in serious sin, but they're still getting the blessing. You know, we're told sometimes, not all the time, but usually at weddings or funerals, I think they make the announcement, you know, Catholics in good standing are welcome to come up and receive communion, all right? And there's a little addendum to that saying, if you are not Catholic or you're unable to receive, and you are Catholic, you're unable to receive, would like to get a blessing, you can get on the communion line, put your hands across your chest, and then when you come up, the priest or deacon will give you a blessing instead of receiving. They're not asking why you can't receive. Maybe that person is in a homosexual relationship. No one's saying, you know, you come up and get your blessing, but not if you're this, 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 or that. You can't come up. No, nobody says that. And they shouldn't. So, again, the church says people with same-sex attraction, homosexual tendencies, must be accepted with respect, compassion, and sensitivity. Every sign of unjust discrimination in their regard should be avoided. These persons are called to fulfill God's will in their lives and, if they are Christians, to unite the sacrifice of the Lord's cross. I'm sorry, to unite the sacrifice of the Lord's cross, the difficulties they may encounter from their condition. So again, it's a trial. We don't know psychologically, we don't know why this happens. But the catechism continues in paragraph 2359. Homosexual persons are called to chastity by the virtues of self-mastery that teach them inner freedom, at times by the support of disinterested friendship, by prayer and sacramental grace. They can and should gradually and resolutely approach Christian perfection. So by the support of disinterested friendship, by prayer, by sacramental grace. No, yes, homosexual persons are called to chastity. So are heterosexual persons. So are married people called to chastity. And because it's such a very strong tendency that we have with our sexual faculties, it's a struggle at times, right? Let's face it. And it is for persons who are homosexual. So it's not the person that the church says, you know, is unwelcome, or the church says it's the act. And quite frankly, you know, the culture today is really making it much more of an issue than it needs to be made, than needs to be made of it, I believe. But they're trying. There's an agenda out there. There's an agenda to push that particular lifestyle as normal, and it's not. It's not saying that the people themselves are the problem. It's the act that the church says is the problem. Again, if you have friends or relatives who say, well, the Catholic Church, you know, discriminates against homosexual people, no. And in fact, the church even teaches that any sign of unjust discrimination in their regard should be avoided. But he won't let them, but the church won't let them get married. Well, that's because that's not marriage by definition. It's not. And the church will also tell two people who are heterosexual, you can't have any type of sexual relationship here if you're not married. Sin is sin. So we have to be very, very careful. And that's why I think when we had the situation back in the fall, and when the Vatican approved blessings of homosexual individuals, made it very clear. And, you know, you can read, but if you read the right true resources, there are some resources out there that were just spreading erroneous information about the church's intent and Pope Francis' intent. And the persons can receive a blessing. And again, think about it. And I thought about this on Christmas Day when people were coming up to receive communion. How many people who were receiving should not have been? And I'm not just talking about people who are in homosexual relationships. I'm talking about people in general, people who are in the state of mortal sin, who hadn't been to Mass since last Christmas. God knows their soul. God knows their intent. God knows their lifestyle. God knows their life, their heart. So we have to be very, very careful about how we judge and the things we say and the things we promote. You know, paragraph 2357, 2358, 2359 in our catechism. If you have, you're having difficulty with this, again, go to the catechism, pray to the Holy Spirit, ask that your heart be open to what the church is saying here and the true, real meaning behind these teachings in these three paragraphs. It's talking about the people as being accepted, respected, being shown compassion and sensitivity, and any sign of unjust discrimination in their regard should be avoided. The people. These persons are called to fulfill God's will in their lives, and if they are Christians, to unite to the sacrifice of the Lord's cross the difficulties they may encounter from their condition. And there are many people who do just that. You know, we have this wonderful organization in our church called Courage, and it's set up for people with same-sex attraction who want to live a good, holy, chaste Christian life. It's not easy. You know, those of us who are heterosexual, most of us, you know, found a member of the opposite sex that God sent into our lives, and we married, and we live out our marriage and our conjugal obligations, and pretty easy. But think about those even who are heterosexual who don't find that person and have to live, you know, have to remain chaste. Same thing applies to them as does to a homosexual person. So don't let anybody tell you that the church hates homosexual people. Obviously not. Just read these paragraphs. Read the teaching from the catechism, and they get set straight. Okay, so I'm going to stop there because I don't want to go into the next section. We only have a few seconds left here. So, but again, my friends, those are beautiful paragraphs on the church's teaching regarding homosexuality, homosexual persons. And it's good to have good working knowledge because these days especially we do get a lot of pushback from people who are, you know, again, erroneously saying the church discriminates against homosexuals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Don't. All right, I got to go. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks for being a part of my day. Join Cheryl and me tomorrow at 4 o'clock for Friday Live, brand new edition. We pray you have a blessed, happy, and holy rest of your day. My name is Jim Manfredonia. Thanks for listening. God bless you, and God love you.
In me.